ever made the stash. The rock boys and the Wednesdays aren't Wednesdays until this man's in the house. Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com joins us. Christopher, good to see you, man. It's always good to see you. How you doing?
Doing great, man. Got some more champs in front of me, as usual.
we got to take care of the good folks here, and you're one of the good folks here. So what do you got there anyway? What do you got there? It looks like it's a ham and cheese.
Kinda, yeah, something like that. It's really good. I know that.
Yeah, you know the food. You know the food at champs better than I do, actually. You know the cheese fries. You actually turned me on to the cheese fries.
Yeah.
Champs
yeah.
is good stuff,
yeah.
man. Good stuff. Oh, yeah. Going to karaoke tonight, man?
You know, I don't think I'd ever be welcome back there. You know, as much money as I spend there, I doubt they'd ever let me come back in if I participated in karaoke.
Chris Coleman joins us from TechSideline.com. We'll talk a little Hokies now, Christopher. Let's, let's talk hoops for a little bit. Sunday's game. I did see a little bit of Sunday's game, and Sunday's game, what really stuck out for me, Chris, is obviously defensively they look good, and they've been playing good defensively, which you can win a lot of games, you keep in low scoring, no matter who you're playing. But one of the things that's alarming to me, and let me know if you agree, is I don't see enough inside play. And I know they scored a lot of points in the paint, but I think that teams can play a zone against the Hokies based on their outside shooting. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so too. The Hokies' outside shooting is either hit or miss. You know, you got A.D. Bisaccia, he'll either light it up like he did the other night or go 0-5 like he did against Penn State. It seems to be no in between. Malcolm Delaney's capable of shooting better than he has been, you know, the last couple weeks. But, you know, you pack in a zone that Tech's young freshman guards aren't used to seeing, and, you know, they have trouble getting the ball to the inside. Plus, you know, you like to take a look at Seth Greenberg's half-court offense over the years, and it's never been a thing of beauty. So I'm not surprised that they're struggling in the half-court, not surprised at all.
Back-to-back games, one game, 7 free throws, this past weekend, 11. That alarmed me a little bit.
I'd rather, honestly, after watching Virginia Tech shoot free throws for years now, I'd just assume AD shoot up a three-pointer than go to the free throw line. But no, I think Jeff Allen can be a pretty good free throw shooter. I think he needs to attack the glass more and try to get to the line more. You know, if not to make free throws, then to get the opposing players in foul trouble. You know, I think we need to get AD Bisaccia, try to get AD Bisaccia to the line more, because he is a very good free throw shooter. I think he'll, you know, you get him to the line enough, he'll knock down probably 80% of his free throw shots. But free throw shooting for Virginia Tech seems like as soon as you put a Tech uniform on these guys, their free throw percentage goes down.
Chris Coleman joins us on ESPN 1430. Catching up with Coleman, brought to you by Champ Sports Bar and Cafe, 111 North Main Street. Christopher, along those lines with the Hokies basketball team, young team, but a guy, you mentioned him, Jeff Allen, guys get a double-double every night. For a freshman to do that, to hit the glass like that, I mean, you see a lot of freshman scores in college basketball, but a guy to hit the boards the way he does, that's impressive.
4 double-doubles in his first 8 games, you know, and he was 1 rebound shy of another one, and 2 of the ones he didn't make double-double status was because he got in foul trouble, you know? I mean, he's a guy, if he gets in foul trouble, obviously, just like anybody else, he's not going to be as effective. But if he stays clean in the fouls, you know, he's gonna get you a double-double every night. It's not just his physical presence. It's like he sees the shot, and he can tell where it's going to bounce off that rim, and he knows exactly where to be. You know, he's got great eyes from that standpoint. But it's so refreshing to have a player like that, because the Hokies haven't had a player like that on the inside in a long time. Not a true inside guy. They had Bryant Matthews in there last year in the Big East, and he was a really good player on the inside. But he was a guy, you know, for his whole career until that year, he played small forward, you know. It's great to see a wide body in there.
Wide body that's got a nose for the basketball the way he does and is as agile as he is also. One of the things that also sticks out to me is obviously their defense, but losing Dowdell and then losing other guys that left here and moved on, you would think that the defense would suffer a little bit, but it's actually the strength of this team. Why is that?
I think it goes back to Seth Greenberg. He really seems to have a knack, you know, not only for coaching defense, but for teaching young players, especially freshmen, how to play hard. You know, a lot of these freshmen come up from high school and AAU and prep school. Playing hard on that level is different than playing hard on the college level. You know, you can get by on that level with your talent ability. When you get to college, you can't do that. You've got to go all out on every possession. And you go back to when Xavier Dowdell and Jamon Gordon were freshmen, You know, they weren't perfect, but they were playing hard every game. You know, they were diving on the floor for loose balls, and that's what these freshmen are doing. I mean, you see Malcolm Delaney on the floor more than anybody else. You know, you don't see that out of a lot of freshmen. These guys are very competitive, very competitive. And you know, they're not gonna set any offensive records, obviously, this year. But I think, you know, their effort is there, and that's all. You know, that's all you can really ask for at this point. But since they're really talented, also that effort can take them a long way eventually.
Chris Coleman joins us on ESPN 1430. Catching up with Coleman, brought to you by Champ Sports Bar and Cafe. Christopher, you brought up Seth Greenberg, Coach Greenberg. Have you noticed a change in coaching style? Maybe not so much strategically, but the way he handles the players. Because usually most college coaches are, I guess, harder on their team than what I've noticed the way Seth has been for the beginning part of the year.
Right. You know, Seth's not going to do much yelling when it comes to a player doing something wrong on the court this year, because he expects that. I think, you know, if he thought somebody was loafing it, he'd do a little bit of yelling. But I think Seth's really just enjoying watching him grow, and he understands there's going to be growing pains. So, no, there's no reason to be as hard on him as you would, you know, let's say a senior-laden team. When they lost to Marshall last year, I can't imagine, you know that's one censored post-game conversation from Seth Greenberg right there when those seniors lost at Marshall last year. That was a terrible loss. You know, this year you lose a game, you know, you kind of expect it. You just got to get them back up for the next game, understand there's going to be growing pains. So, yeah, I think you definitely handle this team differently than you do last year's team, for example.
All right, let's talk about the team that's got 11 wins so far, looking for 12 wins for the first time in school history, and that's the football team. Put the squash on these rumors now. You go on some of these message boards, and there's talk about one defensive coordinator, the one right here in town, Bud Foster. Elaborate on what people have been talking about, and elaborate on whether or not there's truth to it at all.
There have been, you know, internet rumors all day long saying that Bud Foster is going to South Carolina to be Steve Spurrier's defensive coordinator. Anybody I've talked to or heard from that has any kind of a connection at all to Virginia Tech Athletic Department is totally debunking those rumors. I just think it's just a bunch of, you know, just internet rumors, just message board rumors. Not sure how they got started. I think maybe some Clemson fans had something to do with it, messing around with the South Carolina fans. But, you know, Bud Foster staying in Blacksburg. If he was going to leave to be a defensive coordinator somewhere, South Carolina? No, don't think so.
The only issue that I would say in seeing Bud take a job like that is that Steve Spurrier has made it flat out obvious and said it publicly that this defense needs to change at any cost. And that means they'll be willing to pay whatever it is. But right. Bud's making a lot of money here, and I'm not here to tell you what he's making, but when you see all these things happening with coaches, I'm first one to tell you anything's possible. Mm-hmm. But I will say this much to you, anyone that is a Hokie, just ask yourself one question and three letters. Why?
Right, exactly. Steve Spurrier actually offered Bud Foster the defensive coordinator job at Florida back maybe 5 years ago or something like that. If Bud Foster didn't accept the job at Florida, then why would he go to South Carolina now? There's no point. You know, I mean, he's built too much of a reputation here. The only way I see him leaving Virginia Tech is if he's get offered a head coaching job somewhere. And obviously that hasn't happened yet that we know of. But, you know, he's not going anywhere to be a defensive coordinator, I don't think, unless it was just some kind of offer that he just could not turn down.
Chris Coleman joins us on ESPN 1430. Catching up with Coleman, brought to you by Champ Sports Bar and Cafe. Christopher, we talk about that team that won 11 games, looking for win number 12 on January 3rd. Of course, it's a senior-laden team, and that's where I want to go next. I want to talk to you about two guys that play on Bud's defense, the linebackers Xavier Deby and Vince Hall. Those guys will be graduating or have graduated already. When they leave, how's that linebacker core going to look?
Well, you know, we've already seen a preview with Warren in there, and he did a very good job, I thought. He's going to be a good ACC linebacker. You know, it's possible he could contend for some all-conference honors next year. He was I think linebacker of the week that year, or defensive lineman of the week in the ACC, that week they beat Duke. I mean, he's just a very heady, good, solid football player. The backer spot behind a DB is a little less settled. Pernell Sturdivant, his only significant game action was against William and Mary this year. But he was player of the game that game. I think he got two sacks, two interceptions, and led the team in tackles. He's short, only about 5'9 or 5'10, but He's very athletic, can get from sideline to sideline and a lot from a stature standpoint. He kind of reminds me of Myron Newsome, a Tech linebacker back in the mid-90s, 95, 96, who played that same position. Real small guy, only about 5'9", 205, but he was tough and a good athlete. And I spent some time with the Panthers, I think, in the preseason. But Stardom is a great athlete. You know, his height could hold him back some, but, you know, I think those guys will do a solid job. I'm more concerned about defensive tackle depth, personally.
And let's go further. Let's talk more about that defense. Let's go to the back four. And Brandon Flowers hasn't hidden the fact that he will put in the paperwork to find out the projection of where he would be drafted. And if he's drafted number one, he pretty much said he's going to opt out and leave school. Now, where does that leave the secondary?
You know, a lot of it depends on Macho Harris. He's also put in his paperwork. I think it'd be a mistake if Macho left. I think next year he could come back, maybe do a lot of kick returning next year, really improve his stock. Still need some help on some of the technical standpoints of the game. Another year with Torian Gray, a former NFL defensive back coach. Great secondary coach. You know, that would really help him out a lot. You know, if the Hokies lost Flowers, you know, that would be a loss. He's the best cornerback Tech has ever had. You know, I'm not going to beat around that bush. But at the same time, you know, Rashad Carmichael has seen some time in a nickel package this year. He's done a good job. I've always liked Virgil from what I've seen in practice. The Hokies always put a good secondary on the field. You know, Virginia Tech's going to have a solid defense next year. It's not going to be elite like it is this year, but they're going to be solid.
Let's go on the other side. I want to play something for you that Sean Glennon said yesterday.
Okay.
I'm going to miss that next year. That's going to be tough for me. You know, I'm losing four guys that, you know, all have a chance of playing at the next level. Guys that have been scoring touchdowns for 4 years in a row. I mean, they've been a huge part of this offense for 4 years, and you know, it's going to be tough. Tough not having them around. I mean, outside of them, we might have about 3 or 4 catches, you know, coming back with the wide receivers.
That's Sean Glennon talking about the four guys that are going to be graduating.
Yeah, and he's absolutely right. You know, it's going to be really, really tough. It's going to be really weird seeing a bunch of different receivers out there on the field. I think Zach Luckett is talented. He's a guy that can get the job done. Brandon Dillard, obviously, really, really fast. Not sure he's a pure receiver. He's a walk-on. He's had to work on his hands some, but he's got great speed. He and Luckett actually have some game experience this year as gunners on that punt team. So they've gone out there. They've seen the speed of the game. They'll be somewhat ready. They were both impressive this past spring, but, you know, there's obviously going to be a drop-off. You know, Patrick Terry's redshirt, and he's very fast. Danny Cole is redshirt, and he's a good player, or looks like he's going to be a good player at some point. But, you know, it's obvious, you know, that they're not going to get the same production out of the wide receiver corps. You know, let's just go ahead and flat out say that. They're just going to have to get better in other areas. The offensive line will obviously be better. Tyrod Taylor, Sean Glennon will be better. Sam Wheeler might become a major target next year.
All right, Christopher, thanks for the time, brother. Thanks for all the info, and we shall talk next week. Where are you staying in Miami, by the way?
I'm not sure how you pronounce it. The Lowe's?
The Lowe's, that's it. You're at a Miami Beach?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Excuse me, big timer. All right, Christopher Coleman staying at the Lowe's. That's like J-Lo's place. All right, Christopher, thanks for the time, brother.
Yes, sir, anytime.
We'll talk next week. Thanks for Christopher Coleman joining us on ESPN 1480. Short time out right here on ESPN 1480.